Of what might happen to you as a result of making these revelations?
Oh, yes. I probably am a dead man already.
They think they're living in a police state.
Once upon a time, there were these people in Europe called pilgrims, and they were afraid of being persecuted. So they all got in a boat and sailed to the New World where they wouldn't have to be scared ever again.
Oh, I loves my gun,
and I don't mean no money like I work at Walmart and make no money.
So enjoy yourself, or I'll come looking for you. There and veg out in front of your TV and enjoy what these fine people are giving you, which is maximum entertainment. You understand what I'm saying about? And don't you ever, ever, ever forget what it's like without TV. Because before TV, people just sat and played with themselves all night.
I loves my gun. Loves my gun.
Recorded the 8th of November, 2013. This is your host, Iron Angel, back with another episode of Rangers A to Z. Yeah, it's been forever and a day since I did one. You know, it's just one of those things. I had a whole bunch of really great ideas. I started a couple of shows. I managed to screw them up and dump them. So, you know, here we are doing it again. I'm kind of thinking about changing the format around down the road a little bit. Maybe top of the year we'll go through and do a format change. Hopefully I'll actually start doing some more shows because I got a bunch of great ideas, but yeah, well, that didn't go so well. Any rate, this is episode 25. 25 part 2 or however you want to look at it because there was another 25. Anyway, this is episode 25 and it's writer's block. And why is it writer's block? Because it's November. And November is National Novel Writing Month. NaNoWriMo. Yeah. I know national isn't really accurate because now it's all over the world and all that kind of stuff. But they figured keep the name because people get confused and they're simple and whatnot. So there it is. If you don't know what that is, NaNoWriMo.org. NaNoWriMo.org. It's basically... Okay, on the surface, it's a writing thing where you get together, everybody gets online, or goes to meetings together, and hangs out and writes a novel. In actuality, what it is a very cleverly veiled way to get people who keep saying, "Oh, I'm going to write a novel one day." Well, get off your butt and do it then. Because the more you do something, the better you get at it. That's not been proven with me doing this show, because every time I do this show, I swear it gets worse, but nonetheless. So I do this every year because it's a one-month span that, you know, I got a bunch of stuff I have to write anyway every year, different things, either something for the band, something for work, there's always something I got to write. And doing it when there's a bunch of other people doing it at the same time, you're all kind of in the same boat together, so it's nowhere near as lonely, and you know, you're not sitting there and people are going, "Hey man, you want to go out and hang out?" I gotta write a novel. You know, so it's kind of nice because you got that socialization. And I do the same sort of thing in February, the RPM Challenge, which is music or sound, you know, where everybody gets together for a month and tries to record an album, and you know, sometimes some cool stuff comes out. Actually, I play a lot of the stuff from that on here. Quite a bit of the music I use. Everything I play, I've got permission to use. Quite often, the stuff I'm playing is RPM stuff that, you know, we were hanging out and chatting, and they're working on it. I'm working on my crap, and I says, "Hey, man, can I play your stuff on my show?" You have a show? Nobody's ever wanted to play my stuff before. Yeah. You know, so it's kind of a cool networking tool. It's a really good way to get to know some other people doing the same kinds of things you're doing if you're into that. So at any rate, this one's going to be writer's block. It's going to be dedicated to getting people writing. Now, I don't say you need to go out and write a novel, okay? I know a bunch of the people out there are writing blogs. They're writing how-to books. They're writing, you know, they're just writing stuff. It can be nonfiction. It can be fiction. I don't give a crap what you're doing. Just do something creative. Add to the collective of we as a people in the world to make the world a better place. You know what I'm saying? So with that in mind, I'm going to go through and throw out some of my tips. You know, the usual tips for riding and stuff are a whole lot different than the way that we do things with some of the Ranger stuff. And, you know, in the Rangers, we're real, real gung-ho about producing media. Although we don't always have a lot of time and stuff, you know, the idea is produce media that other people can use. Take the things that you've learned, either to video, to audio, written, however you want to do it, just convey it to other people so that they can learn from your experiences and you can learn from theirs. And so that's going to be basically what I'm going to do this time around. When my stomach stops making that really incredibly annoying noise. Sheesh. Between whatever the hell I ate and the street cleaners outside, it's all kinds of weird background noises day out here. At any rate, hopefully the underlying tracks will block that out so you don't hear it in the background of the mic. More of the crap that I recorded, I don't know, for RPM this year, last year, somewhere in there. Anyway, dig around a Lone Tone, you can find my stuff, it's there. It's the untitled movie soundtrack stuff. So my advice for writers is, this was really written as a piece specifically aimed toward a lot of new writers. In our area, we've got a lot of writers who basically are really big fiction fans. They read a lot, and so they think, well, okay, I want to be a writer. The problem is they keep rehashing the same thing over and over. They're basically retelling the same stories they've already read. And to some extent, yes, this is a good way to get started, but you know what? At that point, you're not really creating anything new. You're kind of remixing old stuff, which has a place and can be pretty darn cool. Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies, for example, is really just a remix with some pretty creative add-ons put in. To some extent, some of the other speculative fiction kinds of things fit in there too, but it really helps if you learn to be a solid writer before you actually get around to doing that kind of work. And so I went through and wrote up a number of different little things, you know, basically just some advice for starting out writers and stuff. And that was kind of to you know, kick people into get out of your mom's basement and do something with your life. Now, the first one is, This group of tips I actually wrote down, so I have a script for a change. You know, I always start one, and then I always don't actually pull it up and forget it and all that crap, so I'm actually doing it right this time. Number one is live a full life. It's hard to write about something you've not experienced. When you're doing your research, it only goes so far. It's a great start, but it doesn't really always get you where you're trying to go. If you're writing fiction and you're retelling somebody else's work, you still don't have that tactile sense of the experience. For example, the smell of hot metal is real hard to describe if you've never smelled it. I work around it. I'm used to it. Somebody else will walk in and go, oh, what is that? And it's hot steel. You know, you're cutting with a cutting torch or something. You've got a little bit of steel, you know, vapor, steel particles in the air and stuff. And it's got a smell to it. Explaining the taste of a new dish that your main character is eating is going to be fairly hard if you've not actually tasted it yourself. So if you're writing nonfiction, it really doesn't make sense to write about something you've never done. You know, you're going to write advice on, let's say you're writing advice on woodwork, but you've never used a table saw. You might have seen them on TV, you might have read about them, but that doesn't necessarily make you a really good teacher in this respect. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that it really is personal hands-on experience. You know, a really good tactile hands-on experience helps a lot to write. Now, of course, you got the other end of that same spectrum in that there are some things that, you know, you probably either don't want to go through or shouldn't go through. And this is where you use the human resources around you. That's you know, number two in this whole thing. No one person can do everything. So when you need to know what something else is like, ask someone who's actually been there. This is especially true of dangerous things. If you're writing, let's say you're writing a novel with a lot of fistfights in it, talk to a bouncer. Talk to somebody who's been in a lot of scraps themselves. Instead of, you know, being a skinny little dude that goes out and picks a fight and gets stomped. let someone else's voice come through your words, words of one of your characters, the experience of one of your characters. It's honest, it's real, even if it's flawed. And, you know, a lot of times guys will ramp things up. Little side note here. Bar fights are not like Hollywood and adventure novels make them out to be. I've been in a few. They're almost always more of a scuffle than anything else. Really great resource there. If you happen to listen to my show, you probably know about the Uncle Dax Show. In Tales of the Stupid on the Uncle Dax Show, you are hearing real-world experiences from bouncers who are not making stuff up. That's what happened. Ain't very glamorous, is it? You know, it's not the stand there and throw punches back and forth for 5 minutes, rock 'em, sock 'em, robot stuff you see in movies. So use those human resources around you. Goes for a lot of things. You know, driving really fast in traffic, particularly if you're not a good driver and you don't have a legitimate reason to be doing so. Jumping out a 12-story window into a river. It's sort of a mitigator to number one above. You know, live a full life, but try not to die while doing so. You know? Number three on the list is actually one that comes up a lot. Unplug. Go outside. Get away from people. Get away from the internet. Get away from your phone. Get away from all these distractions. Go to the beach. Go to the woods. Walk. Sit. You know, most of all, listen. This is particularly good if you're going to be writing or creating some sort of a fantasy piece. Helps you describe the lives of most folk before they're really traveling on cars and all that kind of stuff. That sort of vibe, that sort of environment, is pretty much the same as our world, except for a few differences here and there. You know, at least until everything comes crashing down, the dragon roars in overhead or something, but pay attention to the tiny details. You know, quiet sounds from winds and animals, smells, textures, all those little observations help bring descriptions to life. Now, if you're writing nonfiction, if you're writing how-to stuff, I'm not saying don't use this and that as well. There's a lot of parallels. When you're doing woodwork, you can describe, you can explain grain to someone in the same way that you see in the bed of a river, the different patterns and things like that. It helps if you've got alternate ways to describe something, three or four different ways to describe something. It makes it easier for some people to absorb, and it gives your audience base more connection to what you're doing. You know, so there's a lot of different things there. Let me check my time, because we got some songs coming up. Oh, I got a little ways. So let's see, that's number three. Number four, relax. Doesn't matter what you're doing, fiction, nonfiction, shooting film, doing audio, take a break now and then. Know when you need to take a break. When you're tense and all stressed out, it's hard to produce. When I do these, there's actually a lot of places where I'll click pause, stand up for a second, check IRC, because we've always got the Rangers IRC going, and they'll give me ideas and stuff. You know, I'll tell them what I'm doing the show about, and they'll throw in stuff, so I go back in and check. Just did that a minute ago, actually. Let's say you're writing a fiction novel. Throwing down 20,000 words at a novel that you're just going to have to edit out later is something of a frustrating misuse of time. You know, if you instead take a break, maybe go take a hot shower or a walk or something, enjoy a rich meal, something like that, then you write, you might only get 7,000 words in that same span of time, but they've got a much greater chance of being really good stuff you end up keeping. So in the long run, you've actually saved time because you're not dumping time later editing. You know, and it goes for nonfiction, it goes for producing video. I realize, you know, when you're shooting video, sometimes you've got to go now because you've got to get that light. We do a lot of stuff with our band guy, our band guy Tim Gray, actually really likes to shoot in that golden hour. You know, that first hour of the day and that last hour of the day when the light is long, angling, kind of golden yellow light. It looks great. But it's really difficult to shoot in because you've kind of got to shoot fast. You've only got a few chances to get these shots to get that light right. And because the light is so angular and so long, edits are really tricky because that angle changes rather rapidly. So you've kind of got to go through and do do your stuff quick in spots. I understand that. So, you know, rest up in advance, be ready to go when it's time, that kind of stuff. Let's see, look at the list. Number 6, notice the small details and be aware of your surroundings all the time. You never know what will work dropping a novel. This also applies to a bunch of other stuff. We'll come back to that. It also makes you entirely more effective in life in general if you're always aware of your surroundings. It makes you less of a victim in everything. If you're paying attention to the prices at stores, you realize when something's mispriced, you don't get screwed. It reduces your chance of being in a car accident, the victim of a mugging. It also lets you know, so I skip number 5. And, you know, the written piece, I know a bunch of people went back and looked. And because they weren't paying attention to small details. When you're out and about, quite often you'll see little neat, weird things that can be used in writing. Be that fiction, be that nonfiction. You never really know. Plus, you got to see more of the world. If you spend your whole life walking around staring at a phone, you're not really living. You're a slave to that piece of technology. You're kind of a zombie at that point. And that's not necessarily useful. Not necessarily healthy. If you step out and get whacked by a bus, that kind of sucks. Number 7, be a lazy writer sometimes. Use descriptions of real locations, even in fantasy setting. There's a really easy way to create believable scenes. Just basically modify something you've really been in to fit into whatever you're writing. Let's say you're writing a 1930s film noir piece, you know, a really classic detective novel kind of thing. At that point, go to the old town where, you know, wherever you happen to live. There's some place that's fairly old, more than likely. Or if there's not, you know, think back to when you were in the old town section of Chicago or wherever you happen to have visited. Absorb that. Use as much of that as you possibly can. Okay, so maybe the sky, you know, behind that hill's red and the trees' leaves are blue or something, but otherwise it's the same hill down the road from your house. It's someplace you've been. It's a park you were at as a kid. It's someplace that you went on vacation. Just use whatever you've actually been in because it makes it a great deal richer and more real. A lot of people that are writing fiction are really bad at this. You know, they've got these great ideas. I want to do this. I want to do this. And then their descriptions just fall flat. Or the other possibility is you can go too far. You can get Anne Rice disease and you know, spend 15 pages describing the color of somebody's buttons. But at any rate, you can use the same thing for characters as well. If you're writing fiction in particular, or if you're writing nonfiction and using examples of made-up characters, say you need a bit part background character, but you don't really have any idea how to make them seem real, just throw in your high school gym teacher in that role. Congratulations, you can describe that character in depth, both physically and their mannerisms. Suddenly the depth of your writing goes up. Mix and match. Use the physical descriptions of one person and the personality of another one. Use the first and last names of different people, you know, just be a lazy writer when you need to. Sure, if you've got stuff made up and it works, great. But you know what? A lot of particularly fantasy writers make up these names that got 13 frickin' apostrophes in them, and the reader can't really keep up with that. They don't want to try and absorb this whole new language very often. And so what you end up doing is, you know, as a reader, you just give him a nickname. That dude's name is Bob. And you'll call him Bob from now on, even though it's, you know, a 113-letter-long name with 13 apostrophes in it. That's Bob. And so, you know, instead of the 113-letter-long character, why not just mix and match names from people you know, you know? Just because it's a fantasy world doesn't mean there can't be a dude named Steve. And sometimes there's kind of an interesting ironicism in that. You know, you've got a story where you've got all these different characters and everybody's got kind of cool names. You know, I actually know a guy whose real name is Star Mantooth. You can't get a cooler name than that, right? But what if he's, you know, he's a character in the story and there's all these other cool names in there, you know. Johnson Steel and Star Mantooth and all these guys. And then a werewolf named Steve. Just Steve. You know, yeah, he's got a last name, but he just goes by Steve. it's kind of ironic in a way, it's kind of funny in a way, but at the same time, it's also incredibly real. You know, so that's one of those things. You just don't get too nuts, you know. Yes, do some details, but don't get too nuts. Don't analyze stuff, all right? Yeah. And don't be Stephanie Meyer. Number eight is research. If you're writing about something outside your comfort zone, get real friendly with nonfiction about your topic. Study everything like you've got a test coming up on this thing. Know stuff that will never show up in the actual writing, because it makes you a better writer, it makes you a better person, it gives you more life experience, it gives you more ability in life. I know how to do just an absolutely stupid amount of crap compared to most people around, I'm finding out. You know, it's kind of bizarre, because in my opinion, everybody's like me. You know, there's this weird mental state you get in. Everybody's like me. Everybody knows how to do all this kind of stuff. You know, I can change a tire. I can fix a car. Not well. I can do a radio show. Not well. I can do a lot of stuff in metal and leather and wood. I know how a lot of things work. Not well. But you get the gist of it. And a lot of that's actually from playing D&D. No joke. When we were playing D&D, if I didn't know how something worked, I read up on it. I read up on how weather systems worked, because that made more realistic weather. Because, you know, for a while the characters are complaining, wait, every time we go adventuring it's raining. Well, yeah, because it is in stories and movies and stuff. Well, that's not very realistic. All right, so I figured out how the weather system worked and actually came up with weather charts. Roll a die, and this is the prevailing direction the weather's going to head the next 7 days. If you guys stand around on your hands for 7 days, it's going to snow on you, because it's how it works in the real world. And so by learning how things work, yeah, you know, you could do some pretty cool stuff. Let's see here. Digging around on the internet. Even if your topic is sci-fi or magic, dig around the outer edges of the tech that we have to give you some inspiration. And hey, you learn cool stuff. For example, the night before I wrote this piece, I was digging around, and I discovered not only do ion engines for space travel exist, remember the TIE fighters from Star Wars? Yeah. Twin ion engine. Which is what TIE fighter actually stands for. There are actually several of them over our head right now. A lot of satellites actually run an electrical ion engine. And these Dyson ring fans, these kind of hoop fans, those are actually an ion engine. There is Star Trek technology sitting in your, you know, in some, well, not everybody's. I don't have one. You don't probably have one yet. But sitting in a bunch of people's houses. I started on Wikipedia, but it's only a start, you know, because it's just kind of it's a shallow overview. It's glossed over. Start there. Use the links from that. Go deeper. You never know what inspiration you're going to get. You never know what you're going to learn about. You might discover something in what others would consider a dull scientific paper that's just freaking amazing. I found out about electro lasers. You know, this is some old sci-fi kind of crap that actually exists. Using a laser to ionize a column of air and then throw electricity down it, and actually using it to make lightning strike certain spots. That's some pretty cool technology that I probably shouldn't have. Because at the point that I can make lightning hit where I want it to, okay, it's really bad for the laser that causes it at this point. We haven't got that part figured out yet. But I can arc weld like the Vikings did, which used to be you walk outside with two hunks of metal, stick them together, hold them over your head, and go, come on, I dare you, Thor! And, yeah, that wasn't real good for the guy doing it. People that say, you know, oh, I'm bored. You can't be bored. You absolutely cannot be bored. The internet and all of its, just about all the information mankind has is at your fingertips. There's some stuff that's not out there, but for the most part, just about everything is there. Soak it in and revel in it. Lastly, reward yourself. You set yourself a daily word count of, say, let's say you said you were going to write 2,000 words today and you wrote 4. Rock on. Go play a game with friends. Hang out. Have an extra cookie or something, you know? Being away from your writing is where you get all the extra descriptive experiences. And if you're having fun doing it, it's a win-win, you know? Enjoy the rush. Enjoy the experience of learning stuff. Just generally get out and enjoy. The more you go out and experience life, the more you have to write about. Be that fiction, be that nonfiction. you know, I really pity somebody who's using my show as a resource to write a term paper or something, because I am always off on a tangent. I'm Irish, so I'll tell you this story to tell you that story, because I was going to tell you this story, but I forgot to. Irish and American Indian put together. If you've never hung out with these people, holy smokes. You ask them a question, they will tell you a completely unrelated story that you figure out 3 months later was actually exactly the story you needed to hear to learn what you had to learn, except for you had to figure it out on your own. So, yeah, good and confusing. So that covers the written piece that I had. So the second half is going to be a whole lot of me rambling even more than normal, and that's saying something. Let's see. We got a couple minutes. I already have the music and stuff laid in place this time around. I figured, I'm just going to, you know, throw it in where the track ends, where I've got the under track all cut together and stuff, so I'll just throw it in where that ends. And so I got a yammer here for a couple more minutes. Thank you much for listening. If you're out there, great. Hop on Facebook if you do that. That's facebook.com/Rangers4NGER5A, the number 2, the letter Z, Rangers A to Z there. You can jump on our main site and dig around and find a whole bunch of stuff. V just was on, V, the guy, one of the guys that founded the Rangers, was just on Nat Geo, UK Preppers 2. He's got a couple responses there. They shot for 2 days, and then they edited it to kind of make it look like he was incompetent, which is, you know, there's really not a bigger insult to V. V is a pretty damn competent fellow when you get right down to it. I mean, come on, he's lived in a teepee for 2 years out in the woods of England. The guy can get around. You know, he's all right. And plus, you know, you listen to the old Rangers radio episodes, you know. So I'm going to take a break here. We're going to play some Ribeye Brothers. I want to thank Tim a whole lot for letting me use this stuff. I like it. It's kind of fun. It's kind of a country gun club, psychobilly kind of music. So we're going to go with Death of Greyhound and another track or two, and I'll be back after the break. Have fun.
There's no street lights, no hope. we're headed down that old road, you know, where there's no street lights and no hope of ever coming home.
Yes, the Ribeye Brothers. If you don't know who they are, they're kind of unknown, kind of hard to find. It's basically everybody who's ever been kicked out of Monster Magnet. Tim, the singer and kind of the main force behind the Ribeye Brothers, is Monster Magnet's light guy and main tech, and yeah, just a lot of cool guys. And there's always shows in New Jersey, but they never seem to play anywhere else outside of around where they live, which kind of sucks because I'd love to see them live. They're actually kind of a cool little act, you know, like I say, country gun club garage kind of music. So, yeah. So, at any rate, writing. somebody's probably already had the thought, hey, how in the hell does this apply to actual everyday emergencies? Well, this is kind of an interesting one. When you write, particularly if you're writing fiction, let's say you're going to write post-apocalyptic fiction or something like that, you go through and prefigure how to do a lot of things. You've got to go through and think about at length, extensively, how to solve a lot of minor, up to not minor, everyday problems. How do I get water? How do I get food? Raiding the 7-Eleven only goes so far. You know, at some point, everything's going to run out or spoil or turn a color you can't possibly choke down. So you have to think ahead. You have to do a great deal of research and thought on how am I going to X. That gives you the tools to deal with stuff before they happen. if you've gone through and read up on how to change a tire, you've read up on how to filter water if you're lost in the wilderness, you've read up on what you can eat if you're lost in the wilderness, at that point you get lost in the wilderness, you're like, eh, okay, so, you know, I'm going to be a little miserable, but I can do this, no big deal. This is where I feel, for a lot of people, writing even short stories is not a bad idea. Take 5 or 6 everyday emergency kind of concepts and write them in short stories. Throw them up on a blog. Throw them up someplace online and get people's response. Oh, sure, you're going to get some just absolute buttheads that, you know, have nothing constructive to add. Ignore them. Screw them. They got nothing better to do. They live in their mom's basement. Screw them. The rest of the people out there may give you some really good feedback saying, you know, in this environment, you said this, but if you really did that, you'd die because of this reason. There was a back, I don't remember how long ago, 70s or 80s, a reality show set in England, where a bunch of people went out and lived as an Iron Age family, using that technology, those techniques, those tools. About half of them were useless hippies, and they decided to, I think it was a vote, I can't remember exactly how it all came, but somehow they ended up with this brilliant idea of, let's put our latrine on top of the hill, let's dig our water hole at the bottom of the hill so the sewage can flow down into our water supply. And a bunch of people got sick, and, you know, you learn pretty fast that's not the way to do it. I would much rather learn from somebody else's mistakes in research than go out and experience dysentery firsthand, thanks. You know, there's a certain amount of stuff I'll do for art, but, you know, puking and having it come out of both ends at once just doesn't seem like a really good thing to do for art, you know what I'm saying? So, if you're into learning how to do stuff, doesn't matter if it's handcrafts, you know, woodwork, metalwork, pottery, leather, whatever. If you're into, say, hunting or something, it's a really good idea to actually go through and write some speculative fiction about those things. Because in doing so, you discover how you do a lot of stuff. A lot of things you do, you don't know how you do. It's actually surprisingly difficult to sit down and explain step by step, not missing anything, how to make something. Having done a whole bunch of books, at least it is for me. Maybe it's not for you. You might be okay. But for me, I discovered there's a whole bunch of stuff that I just sort of subconsciously do and don't even think about. There are steps that I do when I'm forging a steel S hook, you know, real simple project. There's a bunch of stuff I do in that project that I don't even realize I do. I throw my safety glasses on and don't even know I've got them on. I've got my headphones on, don't even know I've got them on. I'm just so used to doing that I wouldn't think to tell somebody else because I would just, you know, kind of naturally assume they'd be smart enough to protect themselves. When you're writing this kind of stuff, you discover that you have to be able to explain it step by step, and you have to do it in a way that's fun, that's enjoyable, that somebody will actually want to read. This is a pretty good challenge. So whatever you happen to be good at, whatever you happen to be into, try and write it as a piece of fiction. Let's say you're into hunting. Okay, there's an easy one. Let's say you're into hunting. Your character goes out. He's got a total of, let's say, 10 rounds on him. And gets caught in a blizzard. What do you do? What does that character do? You can write it as yourself if you want to, but that tends to personally invest things in it that you're not going to be willing to let the character suffer tremendously. And some of your friends reading are going to give you crap. Oh, that never happened to you, you know. You never lost a leg to a wolf or something, you know, whatever. So create a fictional character, like I'd mentioned before, using a mix of people, different physical traits, different personal traits, whatever. Basically, generate a character like you were, you know, playing a game. Generate a character and run them through some scenarios. Run them through. He gets caught in a blizzard. A couple of feet of snow on the ground. how does he survive? How does that character go out into the world and make it until he's able to get back to civilization? Start another story. His sister goes out. She, you know, she's maybe following a trap line. She ends up breaking a leg somewhere. How does she survive? How does she get back to civilization? These exercises will give you a lot of time to think about a real-world emergency that you don't really want to go through, but you'll have those tools to deal with it a great deal better if it should ever happen. You know, if you and five or six buddies are out hiking or something, and there's an avalanche and blocks your way out, you're stuck out there for a couple of days until, you know, somebody comes along with a bulldozer and clears the road back out, you're good to go. You've already thought this through. Hopefully you've listened to some other shows and you've actually got the supplies with you, the provisions with you, or the ability to get those provisions. You made note, hey, there's a clean stream right there, and we know that's safe to drink from because we've seen animals drink from, and there ain't dead animals all over the place. That kind of stuff is actually kind of useful. It's useful not just in the wild. If you live in a city, go through those scenarios and write them down. You know, write them as fiction. Throw them up on a blog, whatever. You know, throw them up, explaining what you're doing so other people have an opportunity to learn. If you got something like that, throw it up on drop us a message. Hop in the Rangers IRC. Go to r4nger5.com. Hop in the IRC. I think it's open now. There was a time we had a whole bunch of spammers showing up and stuff, so you had to kind of get permission to get in there. But I think we're back to being open again. I can't remember. Hop in the IRC and let us know you've got these are my urban survival stories. You know, what do you think? I know some new people have wandered in lately, so I'm not sure if you're coming in from the show or not. But hey, come on in, hang out a while. It sometimes takes us a while to realize you're there. So, you know, plan on just leaving your thing connected for a while. We'll get back to you. It can take, I think when I first showed up, it took a day before somebody said, hey, you're new here. What are you? You know, and I said, well, I heard Rangers Radio on Rant Radio when I came in to hang out, and I've been there ever since. So, if you're at all inclined to write, this is not a bad thing to do. And if you can do it in an enjoyable way that's fun, that's realistic, that isn't Hollywood all over the frickin' place, will you ever make money on it? I don't know. Probably not. But can you help other people? Can you make the world a better place? Yeah. If you're good at writing kids' stories. I read, as a kid, I think this may be some of why I am like I am. I read a lot of those, you know, kid gets lost in the wild kind of stories. I read a couple of stories about, you know, kids are out cutting firewood. You know, they're back in pioneer days. They're out cutting firewood, and somebody gets injured, and what do you do? And it actually came in kind of handy because some of the fiction that I had read gave me the skills, taught me some of the things I needed to know when we were really out there doing it. You know, at 9 years old, I was out with my family cutting firewood, and, you know, the truck breaks down. We were smart enough to have brought water. We were smart enough to have brought food. No big deal. We didn't have a spare starter because you don't expect that to die, do you? And so, you know, we're gonna have a 15-mile hike back to the highway where we can thumb a ride back home and go back and get another vehicle and go back out and fix this thing. But no big deal. You know, at that point, it was an adventure. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't huge. Now it would be, oh my God, people lost in the woods. It's absolutely tragic. No. You were no weaker than the pioneers were. We've just gotten lazy as a people. Get off the frickin' couch, put down your cell phone, and go do something, you know? And if you can be the person that inspires them to do it, I don't care if they read it on their Kindle, I don't care if they read it on their phone. If you can be the person that inspires them to go outside and do something with their life, rock on. You know what I'm saying? Even if you don't ever find out about it, even if you never know what happened, the possibility that you can do that is kind of cool. It's kind of useful. I've gotten a little bit of feedback on this show, and it's all been really kind of mind-blowing. I'd love to get more. You know, if this show made your life better, let me know. That would rock. But you know, take the time to take what you know and put it out there. Be it a podcast, be it a book, be it video, whatever. Throw it out there for people for free. Make the world a better place. Pass on what you know. And even if you get nothing back out of it, you don't know. You may have just inadvertently changed or saved someone's life. And you'll never know it, but so what? It's a net positive. On the whole, you have made the world a better place. So, hey, rock on. Good job, dude. Yeah. Oh, try not to get my head cold in the process, though, okay? Let's see. Looks like we got about 10 minutes of my yakking to go through still. There's going to be some more Ribeye Brothers at the end. Lonesome Roads is going to be at the end. R-H-O-D-E-S. If you happen to jump on YouTube and look up that song, Ribeye Brothers Lonesome Roads, you'll find my lumpy head mixed in with a bunch of other friends of mine from the Monster Magnet Forum. One of the guys there did a video of just, you know, different still images. And I'm in there somewhere. I'm not going to say where, but I will say I'm in there somewhere. So I technically start a star, or I'm one of the stars in the unofficial official video of that particular song. So I do have some vested interest in it and stuff. But there's, you know, I don't even know where to get their music. I'm sure it's out there somewhere. I got it directly from Tim. He basically handed me the CD. So I don't know. If you're into something like that, dig around and see if you can come up with. I'm really glad that you know, they let me use it. So if anybody else out there's got some stuff going on like that, if your band kind of sounds like that, hey, send me some stuff. That would be cool. I'd love to play it. Any rate, Writer's Block. The actual title of the whole damn thing. I have a tendency to do titles that are somewhat tangential, that, you know, it's a catchy phrase or something like that that you might recognize. Actual writer's block, the inability to write, that mental hurdle of I don't know what to write about. Not a simple thing to overcome. If you're writing nonfiction, it can be harder, because you kind of get that point where you're like, okay, I'm going to describe how I make the... crap, I can't think, you know, brain locked up. Now what? That's hard to get past. For a fiction writer, go out and immerse yourself in what you're writing about. Let's say you're writing, you know, what they call urban fantasy. You know, cyberpunk. Go out to a goth club, hang out, absorb the scene, find people to explain, find people to describe, different weird little things that happen to describe. If you're writing, you know, high fantasy, instead of going back to other high fantasy books and reading them, you're just going to regurgitate that experience. You're just going to regurgitate those stories. Instead of doing that, to break the writer's block, go outside. Go out to the river. Wherever you happen to live, go out and seek out an experience. You know, even if you live in the center of the city, go to the park. Is it the same? No. It's certainly not like being out in the mountains in the wild. Not everyone has that access. Not everyone has that ability. Go out to the city park and find a tiny little 100-foot-on-a-side section that's the roughest, ruggedest spot in the entire place. Scale it up in your mind, you suddenly have, you know, a whole state-sized area that's sort of this, just much, much bigger. Describe it. Just sit down and write a paragraph or 5 or 12 describing this one little area. You can always use it later as a place, you know, as a scene where something happens. Just go outside, unplug. Pull yourself out of the media for a couple of days. Disconnect for a couple of days. And just don't try to write. Don't try to do anything. Go relax when you can. I realize, you know, everybody's got work, that kind of stuff. They're trying to write after work, whatever. So take a weekend. Sure, the family's not going to be real happy about it. Take them on vacation. You know, throw me in the car and go overnight and camp in the car overnight or something. And there's always limitations. You know, I realize I've got a couple people that I associate with who are bound in wheelchairs because they've had, you know, some real severe spinal injuries and stuff in the past. And they don't have the same kind of ability to go out and do that as others do. This is where you can go ahead and research through other people. Sit down and talk to your old Army buddy. Ask them what they've been up to. Retell their stories as your character's stories. Change things around a whole bunch, so it's not the same, obviously. But retell your grandparents' stories. Go sit down and talk to your grandparents about the life they experienced. You want to write steampunk? Ask your grandparents what it was like to be alive in the 30s. And then basically use that as your foundation. Write that as your background. It retells your family history. It gives your stories a great deal of depth. It gives your stories a great deal of life. It gives them believability. And you're also retelling your family history, so later your kids can come through, read that, and you can tell them, yeah, that part right there is about what your great-granddad actually did. You know, when he was trying to woo your grandma, this is what he did. This is what your grandma did when she was on vacation, you know. Your grandma was the crazy one that decided to ride a bear. You know, something like that. Whatever happened to happen in your family's life, rock it out. Write it down. Let's see. I have got about probably 8 minutes. Not even that. 5 minutes before we get into the next ribeye track and the end of the show. Something like that. I don't know. Anyway. Which is just boring. It's not for you to listen to. I really should have just hit pause there. Editing is a whole other ball of wax. That's a whole... And, you know, there's a lot of editing in this show where I'll pause and go change the laundry around or do dishes or whatever that you don't need to hear about. When you're doing a podcast, quite often you end up having to do a lot of editing. Stop, take out pieces, sometimes move a piece around because you realize something you should have told earlier, you know. Makes telling jokes a lot easier when you can go back through, cut them, and edit them. Editing is a whole other ball of wax, and I don't know that I'll necessarily do a show on editing. If you're looking for something like that, start searching on the net, talk to people who edit, because it's something else that I don't actually... I don't have the words to describe yet. I haven't thought that process through sufficiently to be able to explain it to someone else. A really good editor is worth their weight in gold. If you can get a really good editor to help you do your stuff, holy smokes, man. Treat them really well because they're just as important as the original idea is. A good editor will take a really good idea that's put together poorly and make it into a really fantastic piece at the end. They say the story is kind of done three times. When it's thought of, when it's written down, and when it's edited. And each of those is going to be separate and different from the one that came before it. Obviously, the first one, there's nothing before it, therefore, yeah. But definitely, if you have the ability to edit, help somebody else out, do that. That's great. If you're an author, a creator, making media, whatever, it's really a good idea to have somebody else's input on this. I don't. Everything you hear is totally me. I'm doing all the editing work. It's all my fault. It always is. Remember, Iron Angel is not a role model for your life. If you've got a podcast, if you and a friend have got a podcast, and you can get a third friend to be your editor and to listen to it and go, guys, you know, this is really dull. Because I need that a lot. This area is really dull. Can you maybe cut that chunk out and you know, more of this kind of stuff here? It helps a lot. As is obvious with this particular, you know, show. any rate, I'm about out of here. I got a couple minutes left. We're going to cover all the usual stuff we always cover. I want to thank you very much for listening. If you want to chase us up, that's r4nger5.com, rangers.com. Come see us there, jump in the IRC, hang out for a while, because we're kind of, you know, sometimes not paying attention. There's a whole bunch of back episodes of Rangers A to Z, Rangers Radio, and a bunch of other shows there in the mirror down the right-hand side of the site last time I looked. Please don't change that, Kev. You can find us also at Rangers A to Z on Facebook, R4NGER5, the number A, the letter 2, and the number Z, or something vaguely like that. Drop us some feedback there if you want to. Send us your own story, send us a link to your blog, that kind of stuff. We'll plug your stuff. Hey, you know, spread, share it around, all that kind of stuff. There's some more Ribeye Brothers coming up. This is Lonesome Roads, which if you dig up on YouTube, you can see my ugly melon somewhere in there. Thank y'all. Have a great time. Until next time, which hopefully isn't too far, I'm Iron Angel, and I'm out of here.